You're listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball, a podcast by fans from the iubase.com website for anyone wanting more info on Indiana University baseball. Today is Wednesday, July 18th, 2018. I'm Carl James, joined by stats guru Cassidy Palmer, seventh inning stretch music critic Chris Feeney, and our resident baseball mind Josh Bennett for this emergency podcast. This is our first broadcast streamed from the Talking Hoosier Baseball branded YouTube channel. Our first season was under the umbrella of Sports Talk with Tonsoni, hosted by Brian Tonsoni. Without Brian's leadership, this podcast never gets off the ground. Brian is really ramping up his content regarding many sports, including Major League Baseball, the World Cup, his insights on coaching, a new column on Hoosiers-United.com, and of course, the amazing work done by the Delphi Bracketology Group. As such, Talking Hoosier Baseball has become a separate channel and podcast. We can't say enough how much gratitude we all have for what Brian has done for this podcast and molding the four of us in such a way as we are confident to continue on this journey. We wish Brian the best going forward. Last week, the Indiana baseball program officially announced its assistant coaching hires and then made another huge announcement this afternoon. The Talking Hoosier Baseball team will dissect the new staff and discuss what these hires mean for the Indiana University baseball program. But before we dig in, we have some Hoosier highlights from Indiana alumni. Chris, what can you tell us?
Okay, Hoosier highlights for this episode. We got Logan Sowers, 98 at-bats. He's hitting .337. He's got four bombs and 17 RBIs. Probably looking at a promotion from Great Falls soon. We also have Timmy Herron. Three saves already for Arizona Indians. That's a rookie league, obviously. Jonathan Stever, also at Great Falls. 21 Ks in 13 innings and throwing to a 2.77 ERA. So those are most of our newest alumni. Oh, and also Luke Miller. He was out with a hand injury for a little while, but he's back. He was hitting .500 before the injury. So he was really ripping it. He hit a home run before the injury as well. But he's just getting back now. And the biggest Hoosier highlight, Kyle Schwarber, obviously. He put on a show for the ages on the MLB Home Run Derby. I mean, the stats, I got him here. It was amazing. He was the fifth highest home runs in a single round with 21 bombs. He started off beating Bregman. Then he had that big 21-bomb performance when he went up against Rhys Hoskins. It was one of the greatest rounds I can remember in a long, long time. When Hoskins put up the 20 bombs, I thought maybe that would have been it for the big fella. But no, he walks it off, the double hand, the bat flip, the whole thing. It was outstanding. He got to the final, and obviously we know what happened there. You know, the bad guy won. What can you do? I didn't like it. It left a little sour taste in my mouth to finish it off. But when you look into what Schwarber did, I mean, again, there's more stuff as far as his rounds. You also have the second most in the history of the Home Run Derby with the 55 bombs. Only Giancarlo Stanton had more in the history of the contest with 61. So, Kyle, hell of a job. You made Hoosier Nation proud. Now, we also want to this is new for the site. Now I have to kick this over. Uh-oh, I wasn't even ready. Now, I was so hyped up with the Hoosier highlights. So now we're going to kick this over to, oh boy, I have to look it up again. Cassidy, you're going to let us know about our new pitching coach.
Yes. So the new pitching coach is Justin Parker, came over from University of Central Florida, where he was the pitching coach there for two seasons. He held the same position the six previous seasons at Wright State. But he is actually an Indiana boy. He's from Fort Wayne, played at Wayne High School, and then played his collegiate career at Wright State. His 2018 staff, so his staff last season, actually had the 13th best ERA at 3.32. And that's playing against some legit competition down in Florida, especially those midweek series. He in just 2 years at Central Florida, he had 9 draft picks. And this past season, he had 5 pitchers drafted, two in the top 10 rounds and three in the top 20 rounds. That's phenomenal. He himself played for three seasons with the Diamondbacks minor league team, and he graduated from Wright State in 2012 with that same organizational leadership degree as Coach Mercer has. So there's a little bit of a connection there. Carl, what do you have on the new recruiting coordinator?
Thank you, Cassidy. Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about Dan Held, who before being hired as the recruiting coordinator and assistant coach, he was an executive director of the Indiana Bulls baseball organization. The Bulls is a traveling baseball organization. They have a total of 26 teams from 8 to 18 years old, have really been big in building up and providing Indiana kids with a chance to really develop their skills and eventually go on to play college and professional baseball. Going back, he was a 42nd round draft pick in 93 by the Philadelphia Phillies. And he played for quite a while in both the Phillies and Mets farm systems. He then went back to the Phillies as a hitting coach. And then he eventually served as a bullpen assistant for the St. Louis Cardinals for 4 years, including the World Championship year in 2006. Since then, he's been working with the Bulls organization. His responsibility as executive director was to hire all the coaches of the various teams. This coaching hire announces the continued commitment to recruit Indiana and recruit Indiana hard. Someone like Held has the connections in the state to the whole system of youth baseball, and really trying to lock down that talent to come to Indiana University as the premier baseball organization. And I think that says a lot about what the focus will be. Josh, what do you have to tell us about the new volunteer assistant?
Yeah, thanks, Carl. The new volunteer assistant is Casey Dykes. But with the future addition of a third paid assistant, likely I'd expect the volunteer label to come off at some point. Coach Dykes comes to us from VMI, where he was basically their version of former Coach Cheese here. Worked with the hitters, catchers, and was a recruiting coordinator. Prior to that, he played third base for Coach Mercer at Western before joining his staff for one season after graduating with a bachelor's in sports management and then taking that job at VMI. He also has a master's in athletic administration that he finished up a few years ago. So basically the same thing as with Coach Merce. He holds degrees in something coach-related. I love that. They've been preparing for a while for these positions. Twice during his 4 years at VMI, they finished the season ranked in the top 10 in home runs for the entire country. The word is that we should expect a little more small ball than we've had in the past few years, but I think we'll still have a little bit of pop. So welcome to Coach Dykes. And then, as you alluded to earlier, Carl, we have one final assistant to announce. News broke today around 3:30 that we have a brand new position for Indiana baseball, and that's Director of Player Development. I'm sure everyone listening or watching has already heard, obviously, but that position will be filled by Jasper native Scott Rowland. Rowland was named Indiana Mr. Baseball in 1993 and was also runner-up for Mr. Basketball the same year. He played on Coach Mercer's dad's first Indiana's Bull team, as well as played with Coach Held in the Phillies organization. Rowland played 16 seasons in the major league, hitting .281 and compiling over 2,000 hits, 500 doubles, 300 home runs, and 1,200 RBI. Only four third basemen in history are on that list, and the other three are on the Hall of Fame. He also won a Silver Slugger in 2002, was 97 Rookie of the Year, won 8 Gold Gloves, and was named to 7 All-Star teams. So how about that news, Cass? Would I be correct in assuming you'll be making more than one trip to the Bardo next season?
Oh, I'm going to try my hardest if work will let me off enough to do that. I mean, gosh, growing up, Rowland was my favorite player. Diehard Cards fan. And Rowland, being a Cardinal from the state of Indiana, Roland was it in my mind. And so seeing his love of IU and seeing the Scott Roland clubhouse at Bart Kaufman Field, I was actually at the dedication game for the Bart and got to shake his hand that day. And it was that, as I tweeted earlier today, the 10-year-old in me was just jumping for joy that day. But he's got the connections. He's from Indiana. He understands everything that comes with that. And one of the things that I found beyond the high school basketball stuff, I found all kinds of stuff about his 47-point sectional game, including 7 threes in the final about 5 minutes of the game. I mean, all kinds of stuff like that. But I found an interview from 2016 where he was in Jasper catching up and was talking about his coaching of his kids in youth sports. And seeing some of his comments there about how this is supposed to be fun and how it is, especially with kids, you're playing. It's not supposed to be a chore. You're supposed to be playing and having fun. That really excited me to see someone with that kind of attitude, especially as a player development position. It'll be really interesting to see how he approaches working with college students as opposed to like 8 to 12-year-olds. Little bit of a difference there, but all in all, I am so excited for this move. I just about jumped up out of my chair at work. But yeah, now that the coaching pieces are all in place, let's get a bit of a discussion going on how this group fits together as a team. Chris, can you start us off with your thoughts?
Okay, thanks, Cass. I really like the mix. You have the three young guns, you know what I'm saying, with Dykes and Parker and Mercer. And then you got Roland and Held, more of the old school. Roland obviously might address more to the parents of the kids that are playing. The response was amazing through the Twitter account, through the DMs, through everything after the Roland announcement. I think maybe just because I'm not an Indiana guy, I don't think I realized what Scott Roland means to people in this town and in this state. I know now. amazing response. And I got to give Fred Glass some credit. He picks the worst sports day in the history of the year, obviously. 365 days, the one day there's no sports. He makes the huge announcement. Nice work, Fred. You caught all the press. It was a great job. I really am looking forward to seeing how it mixes the young guns. I really feel like they'll connect real, real good with the players. It's going to be a whole different story this year and going forward. Player development is not something I really had heard as far as Scott Rowland. We actually were hearing some other things. But listen, if you want to get some advice on should you go pro, what do I need to learn to go pro? What do I need to become a better pro or become more attractive to pros? Scott Rowland seems like a pretty good guy to ask or to sit down with. And that's before even counting the roots and the way people look at this guy. It was like they hired like a bunch of people's uncle. Like people just feel like they know this guy. I could tell by what they were writing and all the messages. It's like they've known him for a long, long time. He's been a part of their lives for a long, long time, whether it was through high school, the minors, or then the major leagues. So I'm definitely looking forward to see how this meshes out. I'm supposed to kick it to someone right now, and it looks like it's supposed to be Carl. So, Carl, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, for me, I'm taking a look at, a lot of the reactions to the staff in general have been extremely positive. Now, keep in mind that a lot of these types of announcements usually end up being positive. But I hit upon a couple things. Number one would be the numbers that Justin Parker has put up over the last few years. He's just phenomenal performance in the pitching staffs. He has he has put up, and he's obviously very experienced in his role. Mercer himself is experienced somewhat in his role. You know, this is obviously a step up in level for Mercer, but he's definitely been a leader and led a program. About the only question mark I had heard was around the fact that, you know, that Held hadn't been in this particular position before, coaching in college and being a recruiting coordinator for college. But the way I look at it with his position is really a matter of fact of that he brings an element to it that is the part that you can't develop. He's got a wealth of experience in professional baseball and a real depth of experience here in Indiana in youth baseball. So you put those two things together, that you can't teach. Mercer himself was a recruiting coordinator. The nuts and bolts about how you select guys and how you build a team is something that Mercer can easily teach. And I'm confident about that. So with that, you take the three primary guys together, and then, you know, you add a very strong volunteer assistant and a new role that Roland is filling. And I'm very positive about this. Josh, what are your comments on this whole grouping here?
Yeah, this is a really tight group. The ties seem to be everywhere. Coach Held gave Coach Mercer his first coaching job. Coach Dykes played for and coached with Coach Mercer. Coach Parker played with and coached with Coach Mercer. Roland and Held played together. So you know the chemistry is going to be there. This wasn't just something like going out there and trying to hire the best pitching coach in the game, the best recruiter in the game, or, you know, kind of like what we see in the major leagues or NBA. You know, some teams go out there and try to buy the best free agents out there. Coach knows all these guys really well. He knows they're compatible. As far as having the bases covered and the boxes checked, we have a former executive of a highly successful baseball program. Three guys from Indiana. One of the others has been living here for over a decade now. All five of these guys played at the D1 level. 25 years of pro ball experience. A guy who coached in the majors for four seasons and has a World Series ring. Sorry about that one.
You had to bring up 06. You had to bring up 2006. We couldn't get through one podcast without bringing up 2006.
You're waiting for it.
I was.
Also a borderline Hall of Fame candidate. Many different national rankings on the resume as specific coaches, like we've talked about, you know, ERA recruiting classes, the home run. They all have proven records of being driven by player development and getting results. A bunch of the guys that these guys have coached have received honors and been drafted. Plus, they all seem to be tireless workers and excited to be here. I love the fit, and I think each member of this staff complements one another really well. Okay, Cass, you get the last say on this. You're hitting in the four hole tonight, so clean up anything we've missed.
Yeah, so agreeing with all you guys, Glass and Mercer have seemed to put together all of the pieces. This puzzle seems to be pretty well complete. And one of the things that caught my attention is how excited the current players are and how excited some of the former players are with this staff. That to me says more than what the stats, what all of those things say. So that's really big for me. One of the things I'm really intrigued about, kind of on the pitching side, is seeing if Fineman is going to get the opportunity to call his own games. That didn't get to happen a lot his first 3 years, and that could be a big piece to the getting drafted highly puzzle if he can say, I got to call my own game some. That could be really big on his end, so I'm intrigued by that one. But as we've mentioned a little bit, the regional recruiting should be great with all of the connections that these coaches have in the area. But on that note, we did on June 7th, we did get the first announcement of an IU recruit changing his verbal commitment. Dalen Lyle, who still has 2 years of high school left, decommitted from IU and switched to Louisville. 4 days later, Curtis, I'm sorry if I missed this one, Byrne, switched his commitment to TCU. Saturday, right-hand pitcher Cole Gilley, a 2019 commit from Columbus East, opened up his commitment. He had prior interest from Louisville, Duke, and Mississippi State before committing to IU, but has not committed to anybody yet. Another right-hand pitcher from Columbus North, Parker Maddox, has decommitted as well. Avery Short from Southport and Julian Greenwell decommits as well. Josh, how concerning is this?
Well, Cass, it's kind of hard to say one way or another right now. I don't take it lightly losing these Indiana products, but I'm not going to be in panic mode either. Like when a new regime takes over, there's going to be turnover, whether that's a big company or a college baseball team. There are really only two conclusions you can come up with, in my opinion. I think first, it shows what a tremendous recruiter Coach Lemonis was for those first two decommits to immediately commit to big-time baseball programs like TC and Louisville. That just shows that he was able to compete with the big boys and keep the in-state guys home. Second, I'm sure all of these kids had a chance to talk with Coach Mercer before choosing not to come to Bloomington. It's not like they announced this the day he was hired. I'm sure he laid out his vision for the program, his demands, expectations, and what roles he saw each recruit having or not having. Some of these breakups were probably mutual, but I'm sure some of them weren't. Some of those players probably had to hear some things that they didn't like. It's just going to take some time to see how this shakes out. Coach has to have some time to get the athletes in the program that he wants. And they may just not be the same guys that Coach Lemonis wanted. Each coach has a different way of doing things. And one last thing I want to throw out here on this topic. I've seen some people commenting on various platforms on the fact that some of these guys were bowl players and think this looks like these guys didn't want to come play for the staff because they don't like how they operate, don't have faith in their abilities or whatever it could have been. But there's also another side to that coin. The staff has watched these players for years, some of these guys, and know how they operate, know their abilities. So that's just something I think needs to be out there and something we need to think about. Carl, aside from the decommits, are there any other bumps in the road you expect or could see happening this season?
Well, just a general thought on this, which is, you know, we've talked about, and you've heard a lot of people talk about the fact that if there was something that Chris Lemonis brought to the program, is he kind of put a floor under the program. Conversely, some people thought that maybe, you know, the ceiling for the program wasn't as high as it could be. And that the type of commitment and the type of strategy and the confidence that Mercer is showing is one of those things that this program could really take off. But at the same time, he's making a lot of, he may be making some changes that are abrupt and fundamental and could in the short term, you know, kind of cause that floor to possibly crumble a little bit. And again, I don't know, but that's one of those things that, you know, things shake up and things could go one way. They could go the other. You know, I think long-term, I so far have a confidence in what I think this group can do. But you know, short term changes can cause you know, bad things to happen, and maybe there might be a year that isn't as exactly what we want. I can't say for sure. But you know, like I said, while there may be transition issues, it also may be a huge opportunity. I talked kind of about that ceiling. Chris, what do you think the ceiling could be with this staff?
Well, obviously, I know we want to look at temporary bleachers and hosting regionals, okay, because that's been the missing piece in the Lemonis era, right? We had it twice with Tracy Smith, and then, you know, we weren't able to host. We weren't able to come out of a regional during Lemo's time here. So, obviously, that's going to be, for me, first and foremost, hosting a regional. Coach Mercer brought it up. 70% of the teams that host move on, and 70% of the teams that host Supers move on as well. But he obviously is aware of that. He knows home field advantage is important. And as far as Josh mentions the decommits, a lot of people have been, just like a whole lot of people sent me stuff about Roland. There was a good chunk of messages about the decommits as well. And my message to just about everybody was, let's wait and see and have patience, because you don't know what this could be opening up. Maybe we have some other guys that are going to take their spot. You know, maybe there was some guys labeled for UCF or for Wright State that are going to come here. You don't know. So patience is big for that. And as far as the ceiling, yes, obviously I want to host. But this seems like a team of staff where I feel like everybody can do everything, right? Like, damn sure Scott Rolen could lead a team, right? And it seems like Parker was being groomed to lead a team. And Dan Held led a program. Like, all these guys could do everything. They can all recruit. They all have knowledge. And you add all that into a baseball club, no matter who it's coming from, it's going to be one message from everybody. And I really think, I'm confident, you know, I really think we're going to do well this year. I know I've heard the thing about the floor being lowered possibly early on in their tenure because it's not everybody who they want on the roster. But I don't know, I'm confident. I mean, I like who's on our roster. I think they're going to like who's on this roster. And they're going to adapt to the environment. Mercer's done this before. He took over Wright State, and Wright State was like 45-win team 2 years in a row or something like that. So he's done this. He knows what he's doing. And like we already heard, he's big in analytics. And Cassie, what do you think might be coming our way as far as changes on the field due to Mercer's big analytical approach?
Yeah, so the biggest one that I'm seeing a lot is there aren't going to be many bunts. The ones that are probably going to be bunt for single from Gorski, in all honesty. There's, with the analytics, the bunts just, you're giving away an out, and there's that costs the team, so why do it? So that style, I just don't see us getting into, but probably lots of running, which is, again, good for guys like Gorski and Kalitha. I think they're going to love that. And hopefully there's going to be fewer of the base running mistakes that we've seen the last couple of years, straying too far off second base and things like that. I'm also really intrigued to see what defensive adjustments are made, because that's the area that is just historically much more difficult to quantify, to put into meaningful statistics. But that leads to, this was also the perfect timing to have that TrackMan system fully installed and operational, because they're going to get so much data out of that and be able to make real-time adjustments from it. They're going to be able to look at that game to game and see, oh, well, this keeps happening when this player is shading this direction. Let's try to pull him back over this way a little bit. They're going to be able to see that game to game, and that's going to be a really interesting thing for me to see over the next couple of years, see how that's changed. But with that, that'll do it for this emergency Talking Hoosier Baseball podcast. Read up on Indiana baseball at iubase.com. Follow us on Twitter at CUAtTheBart and at iubase17. For Josh Bennett, Chris Feeney, and Carl James, I'm Casty Palmer. See you at the BART.